Good morning. Proverbs chapter 26 is our text this morning. Proverbs chapter 26, verse 12 to 16, page 941 in the Bible. That's here in the church. Proverbs 26, verse 12 to 16. I want to ask God to open our hearts to his word. So let's pray together, humble ourselves before God. Lord, you invite us to come to you, and you said you'd meet with us, and that's what we desire this morning, that you would meet with us in your word. And we come not with double-minded hearts, not with sinful hands, but we come humbly to receive from you, to receive wisdom from you. We ask that you would open our hearts to hear, not just with physical ears, but with spiritual ears, and that you would do what you want to do in us, to draw us to know you and to love you more. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So in life, you will meet some difficult people. And if you are in areas of responsibility, this will be especially challenging for you to deal with these individuals who are particularly difficult. And Proverbs chapter 26 points us to some of these very difficult relationships that we encounter in life. And in our message way back in December, we talked about the fool. This individual that we said is not fitting to give them glory and honor, because the fool is full of baseless cursing, that there's this raging within them. They're always angry about something, but there's no spiritual power to any of that anger or rage. Someone who is full of useless proverbs. They always have something to say, but not necessarily anything that is of real godly wisdom. And then they are full of aimless habits, always doing the same thing over and over again, but with no lasting change, never learning from their mistakes. This is the fool. So how do you deal with a fool? Well, Proverbs 26, verse 5 says that you should answer him according to his folly. In other words, you should correct their foolishness. Otherwise, second part of verse 5, 26, verse 5, otherwise he will be wise in his own eyes. And Proverbs chapter 26, verse 12 to 16, which we're going to look at today, introduces us to this person who we don't want the fool to become. Introduces us to this person who is wise in their own eyes. Proverbs 26, verse 12, do you see a person wise in their own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for them. A sluggard says, there's a lion in the road, a fierce lion roaming the streets. As a door turns on its hinges, so a sluggard turns on his bed. A sluggard buries his hand in the dish. He is too lazy to bring it back to his mouth. A sluggard is wiser in his own eyes than seven people who answer discreetly. And so you notice in verse 12, what it says in light of verse 5, that we are to answer the fool so that he doesn't become wise in his own eyes, because the person who is wise in his own eyes is more lost than a fool. All right. So you can say, you may think, you know, is anybody worse than a fool? And the answer is yes. There is a condition that is worse than being a fool. So out of love, we want to turn the fool from going further down that path away from God's wisdom. We want to hold them back from becoming more entrenched in their own wisdom. And verse 16 introduces us to this person, or one of these people, who is wiser in his own eyes than anyone else, and that is the sluggard. And that's the person we're going to meet today, this very next difficult person that you will sometimes have to deal with. And these verses give us this portrait of a sluggard, and it's almost a caricature, right? It's almost a parody of the sluggard. Four things about him that we're going to see today. Number one, a sluggard, he is someone who is skilled at making excuses. Number two, he is very skilled at doing as little as possible. And he is very skilled at leaving things undone or unfinished. And number four, he is supremely confident in his own skillfulness. We're going to look at those four things. All right, so number one, the sluggard is skilled at making excuses. The sluggard will make up almost any excuse to shirk his responsibilities. Came across a podcast a little while ago, and the speaker said this. He said, "Work is the meaning of life." And then he said, "Your identity is tied to what you do." How do you feel about that? All right, so I'm not sure about that. That was my first reaction, right? The pushback against that assertion. But the speaker grounded his argument in Genesis 1 and 2. And when we go back there and you read why God created humans, why he created us, I think we have to maybe grudgingly acknowledge at least part of the meaning of life is connected to our work, to rule over creation, to be fruitful, to subdue the earth, and to work the ground. Now, let me throw a few caveats in here, okay? For some people, the problem is not that they find meaning in their work, but they find meaning in the status and the influence and the wealth that their work provides. For some Christians, their work identity overrides their identity in Christ. For other people, they are in this terrible work situation where it doesn't seem to have any meaning in what they do. It's just they grind. And so they feel more the curse of work rather than its purpose. As one book puts it, sin distorts our work so that it becomes idolatrous work or self-promoting work. It becomes futile or pointless work. It becomes grotesque, unjust, or alienating work. And some of us are stuck in jobs that are like that. And many times we confine work to an occupation, whereas God's calling extends beyond just a paying job. And so, you know, we account for all of these things, we throw in all of these caveats and all these warnings, and yet we should still recognize that work is part of how God made us. Work is part of how God created us. It's part of how and why we were made. He made us to work and then to use the proceeds of our toil to help others. A fellow by the name of Mark Horn writes this: "Men and women are meant to reflect God's glory by working and transforming creation. This is who we as human beings are. To the extent we resist and distort that calling, we damage ourselves." And the sluggard is one person who resists and distorts God's design for us. He will expend more effort shirking his responsibilities than fulfilling his calling. He will put more energy into making excuses than in doing what God calls him to do. And one day, you know, One way this shows up is in Proverbs 26, verse 13. A sluggard says, there's a lion in the road, a fierce lion roaming the streets. And we've come across this proverb before, this saying before, this excuse before, back in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 13. The sluggard says, there's a lion outside. I'll be killed in the public square. And so here he is again. He has the same old line. He has the same old excuse, saying, I can't go to work because there's a lion in the street. So my son, his family live out in BC. And a while back, he sent us door cam video of a bear that went through their front lawn, climbed over their gate, this kind of morning jaunt through their yard. You really don't want to go outside when there's a bear around. So last summer when we were with them, took the kids out for a walk, and someone said, there's a bear down that street, roaming down that street, right? We didn't go down that street, right? We took another street with the kids. I was a little bit curious. Did kind of walk around a little bit, but if there's a bear in the street, you don't want to be around them. The thing is this, lions didn't normally roam the streets in ancient Israel. And so when the sluggard seizes this as this perceived danger and uses it as an excuse, it's not a very good excuse to leave the house. He may be manufacturing the threat. He may be exaggerating the risk. It may be a legitimate fear that he has that's enslaved him. Or he may simply fear the lion outside that doesn't even exist. We can come up with all kinds of excuses, and we can even make them sound spiritual sometimes, right? I'm just trusting God for this when he has clearly said, this is what you're supposed to do, right? He has clearly commanded us to do something, and we simply say, well, you know what? I'm trusting God for it. And we can make it sound spiritual. Regardless of the reason for the excuse, the sluggard always has a reason not to venture out and brave the demands and challenges of work. Listen, there are times when we really can't work, right? There are times when we don't have the opportunity, we don't have the ability, when there really are things that hinder us. That's not the sluggard's case. He has the opportunity, he has the strength, he has the ability, but he just has excuses more than the ability. He is very skilled. And when we deal with someone like this, you know, I'm not saying here, let's, you know, don't pound on people because of their excuses, but recognize a bad excuse and call it out. A sluggard is skilled at making excuses. A sluggard is secondly skilled at doing as little as possible. Proverbs 26, verse 14. As a door turns on its hinges, so a sluggard turns on his bed. What a great word picture, right? This is how much the sluggard loves to stay in bed, loves to remain comfortable, loves to put off doing anything that requires effort. Sometimes it's just easier, more comfortable to drift through life. Like a door that opens and closes, the sluggard just turns back and forth in bed. Like a door that is fixed in place, there's a lot of movement, a lot of tossing and turning, but no progress. One commentary says it like this. The door opens to let the diligent go forth to his daily business. While the sluggard is rolling upon his bed, the door creaks when it is moved, so the lazy man groans when he is aroused. The door now is open, now is shut. So the sluggard at one time intends to rise, and then falls back in bed and returns to his sleep. And so the sluggard is like a door. Here's the difference. A door on its hinges is doing what it's supposed to do. A sluggard hinged to his bed is not what God designed us for. It is wasteful idleness. It is lacking initiative and effort. Don't misunderstand. We need rest. You are not an infinite creature with infinite strength. You need rest. I need rest. We all need rest. We are finite creatures. But there's a difference between rest and laziness. One preacher offers this distinction. He says, laziness often masquerades as rest, but true rest is purposeful. It refreshes us for further service to God and otherness. Laziness, on the other hand, leads to neglect and decay. A sluggard is skilled. It's skilled at doing as little as possible. Thirdly, a sluggard is skilled at leaving things undone. Here's this other, another just great image here, word picture. A sluggard, verse 15, a sluggard buries his hand in the dish. He is too lazy to bring it back to his mouth. And again, Solomon uses a proverb he's used before back in Proverbs 19, verse 24. But here the picture is this, right? So the sluggard makes excuses not to go out the door of his house. And then turns over in his bed and goes back to sleep, verse 14. And when he finally does get up, because he's hungry, he goes to the kitchen, grabs a bowl of cereal, pours the milk, sits at the table, puts the spoon into the bowl, and can't be bothered to bring it back to his mouth. That word for lazy isn't so much about physical laziness. It's not about physical strength, physical exhaustion. It's a word that has the idea of spiritual and mental weariness. Even for something as essential as eating, a sluggard is spiritually and mentally weary, has no motivation to do something that is so essential. Or if he starts a task, he only works for a while and then he quits. Someone has also pointed out that we can be hectic sluggards, right? So we are very busy with a lot of things, but we have no mental or spiritual energy to do what is essential, what is important, what God has called us to do. And one possible reason for this lack of motivation is apathy. You just don't care. It doesn't matter. So what? The sluggard leaves things undone and doesn't finish what he starts because he just doesn't care. David Paulson says it like this. He says, sloth doesn't just mean you're just sitting around watching TV all day popping bonbons. Sloth also means indifference, feeling apathetic. Sloth says, I don't really care. It doesn't matter. What's the use? Whatever. But the little things do matter, don't they? Right? The little things do matter. Jesus even said, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. The smallest act of kindness, the smallest act of kindness, that careless word that we speak, that we said, I'll just throw it out. That seemingly insignificant task that we've been asked to do. Let's be faithful in doing and finishing what we're supposed to. This description of the sluggard, it's almost comical, right? You read this and you're kind of smiling to yourself. He says, this is kind of a little bit, it's all, like I said, it's a caricature. It's parody. It's a little bit humorous. I don't know anybody who, except for maybe a baby, who has their hand stuck in a bowl. You know, now that I mention it, I remember my granddaughter with her hand stuck in a bowl, falling asleep as she was eating. But this is a baby. None of us know any adults with their hand stuck in a bowl. And so we may think, you know, is this really that bad? If we can laugh at this, how bad can it be to be a slugger? Well, the reason for this humor is not to downplay the sinfulness of being a sluggard. The reason may be to disarm us, to catch us off guard. And while we are caught off guard, Solomon has our attention. He comes along and he says, listen, this is how desperately lost the sluggard really is. And so he reminds us that the sluggard is not someone to laugh about. He is actually the worst kind of fool. And that's what verses 12 and 16 are about. A sluggard is skilled and he is supremely confident of his own skill, of his own wisdom. As we saw earlier, Proverbs 26 verse 12 says, do you see a person who is wise in their own eyes? There's more hope for a fool than him. And then verse 16, a sluggard is wiser in his own eyes than seven people who answer discreetly. That number seven may signify perfection here. So the discreet answer of the seven would refer to this immensely wise counsel. So a sluggard is surrounded by the wisest of advisors, yet he is sure he knows better than them. He is supremely certain that he is smarter than all of them. Let me try to illustrate that using some other areas of expertise. So you are in a room with Bach, Mozart, Beethoven, Tchaikovsky, Chopin, Handel, and Wagner, and the first thing that comes out of your mouth is, you know, I write music. Want to hear some? Or you're at a table with Shakespeare and Dickens and Hemingway and Tolstoy and Tolkien and Christie and Dostoevsky, and you say, I'm self-published. You want some tips on writing? This is the sluggard. He is surrounded by the wisest of counselors, and he has more to say than them. The sluggard is arrogantly confident of his own wisdom and skill. Even though God calls him worse than a fool, he doesn't see himself as foolish at all, but as supremely wise. There is a self-conceit at the core of his being that makes him unteachable. He thinks he has life all figured out, so what can I possibly learn from anybody else? What can I possibly learn from another person? One writer puts it this way, we become resistant to people who want to talk us out of our cherished illusions. And that's why back in verse 5, Solomon exhorted us. He said, Don't leave the fool unanswered. Right? Don't let him become this kind of hard-hearted person who refuses to be corrected and to change their way. It's the kind of correction that all of us continue to need in our lives. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13 reminds us with that same vibe as Proverbs 26, verse 5, but encourage one another daily. As long as it is called today, encourage one another daily so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Instead of being like the sluggard, we need to be humble and we need to receive correction from one another from going down a sinful path. It's been said that laziness isn't loud and abrasive, and that we don't often notice it in ourselves or those around us. And my prayer is that by God's grace, what this scripture does is that it puts this more on our radar screen, that we see sins like being a sluggard in a light that maybe we don't see very often, maybe we don't recognize in ourselves. I also want you to see from this text that the problem of being a sluggard is not just about work. It's not just about responsibility. It's about God's call to us in terms of our spiritual life, right? It's about pursuing true wisdom in our life. God's not just concerned about your work ethic. That's not God's only concern here. Yes, he's concerned about it, but that's not the only thing. He's concerned about our entire character. He's concerned about our entire life. And there are many areas of life where we need to be diligent. Lots of areas in terms of our character where we need to be diligent, but the sluggard is characteristically undisciplined. The lazy route in life is to remain as we are. Right? That's just the lazy route in life. It is the easiest thing to do. Just remain as I am. And I struggle with that inertia. I suspect most of us struggle with that inertia. Just so much easier not to have to change. And I'm not saying that we run nonstop on this, you know, always doing, like we're on some kind of a spiritual treadmill. I'm not calling us to that. I am saying we should be diligent in doing what God says we are supposed to do. And Jesus brought out the seriousness of this when he told this parable in Matthew chapter 25. He talked about this master who entrusted his wealth to his servants. They were supposed to put his money to work. And one of the servants takes the money, that bag of gold, and instead of putting it to work, he buries it in the ground. The pastor comes back and he calls him to account. What have you done with the money that you put it to work? And this servant, this unfaithful servant who did nothing with it, his condemnation from the master starts like this: "You wicked and lazy servant." Of all the things that you can put next to wicked, right? You wicked and unjust. You wicked and arrogant. You wicked and murderous. Of all the things that we could use next to the word wicked, Jesus throws out this word: lazy. Wicked and lazy servant. To Jesus, being a sluggard is wickedness. That's pretty strong language. It's pretty strong language. And so instead of making excuses, let's let's look to our security in Christ to embolden us to tackle the challenges of the day. Instead of doing as little as possible, let's tap into the strength of Jesus to empower us to be diligent. Instead of leaving things undone, let's remember our significance in Christ to encourage us to be faithful in our calling. What you do and what you finish in Christ matters. And above all, instead of being supremely confident in our own wisdom, let's humbly submit to the supremacy of Christ and learn from Him to be fruitful for His glory. He is the, as we saw earlier, the supremely wise one. I said that there is more hope for the fool than for the sluggard. It doesn't mean there is no hope for the sluggard. There is hope. God can transform the very hardest heart. Back in Proverbs 6, the sluggard was told to look to God's creation to learn how to be a responsible person. This is my prayer, that each of us will see from God's design for His world that there is purpose for our life. As long as God gives you breath, there is purpose for your life. There is a reason why we're here. There is purpose. And as a result, whatever God is, whatever that purpose is, as small as it may be, as insignificant as it, you may feel like this is so little that I can do, whatever it is, may we stop making excuses, may we get out of bed, and may we do what we're called to do with the wisdom that Jesus gives to us. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, give us the rest that we need. Lord Jesus, keep us from making work to be an idol. Having done that, Lord, keep reminding us that you've called us to a purpose here. And our life belongs to you. Help us, therefore, to use the energy that you provide, the resources that you supply, the spirit that is within us, and help us to use all of that to do what you call us to do. And Lord, I know that for your people, that's going to look different for everyone. We're not all going to do the same thing. We're not all going to have the same energy. We're not all going to have the same opportunity. We're not all going to have the same resources and ability. But Lord, to what you call us to do, help us to be faithful and to be fruitful for your name's sake. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.